Morning, everybody. This is News Radio 94.9 890 KDXU. It's Wednesday and time for Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care Show. Here's Richard and Kaylee.
It is Elder Care Radio, and this is Wellness Wednesday. It is great to be here. We have had some great times, and we hope we can share some of that with you.
Richard, you sound like you're dying.
Oh, really?
Or retiring.
Oh.
One or the other.
Is it just not loud enough, or my voice is
No.
Shocked?
You said we've had some great times. It kind of sounds like, you know, it was all over with or something. We can continue having great times.
Oh, okay. Well, and I apologize. I didn't want to put that... that pall over the...
let's keep having... We are having great times. How about that?
Well, yeah, we are having great times. And we recently had great times. We were invited to the Catholic Church.
How did that go? Yeah.
So good.
It did.
So good. Yeah. A lot of people out there, I would say the number one comment was, you need to open your phone lines when you're on the Andy Griffin Show and do call-ins. And I was like, what if nobody calls in?
That would be scary. Yes. Right. That is the number one fear of a radio host. What if I ask for calls and nobody calls?
Yeah. So we're not committed to that yet, but we would love to know the questions so you can call directly into our office and
that. For now, they can text my text line at 435-467-5842. That way, you don't have to totally commit to phone calls, but we can take some texts if people want to text.
That's great.
Okay, all right, we'll commit to that.
One. Okay.
Give them that number again. Not as easy as our number, which is 477-6999, but...
No, 435-467-5842. I take texts all morning long. People are really interactive, and hopefully they can get it. 467-5842.
Okay. Perfect. Well, then, whether that works today or whether that works in the future, we'll do that.
And I'll raise my hand if I see some texts come through.
Okay. That'll be great. So we've had this thing last night was really interesting, and we got to meet some great people, and you know, people who are dedicated to trying to help the community. The Catholic Church has this whole program where they're reaching out and helping people who have experienced losses or dealing with problems, whether you've lost a job or lost a spouse. And so they were looking for resources to have and share.
Southern Utah has always really been a supportive community, right? Mm-hmm. We are all about helping each other and helping our seniors and family. I think this last year and a half of a pandemic has kind of put a damper on things, but it's so important. I think that as a community-wide, in general, when you see people that need help, we're always willing to bring a dinner or, help in any way that we can recognize. What we need to start realizing is if you see somebody that needs help and you're going to bring a dinner, that's one dinner, but they probably need a lot of help watching them, taking care of them, making sure that their illnesses aren't progressing. And that's when you're supposed to give our office a call so that we can help them with long-term resources, with all the benefits of coming into their home and helping them with maybe house cleaning or meal planning or just compassionate care, sitting with them so that their loved one, who's their primary caregiver, can take care of themselves as well. If you see families struggling, give our office a call. Let's see if we can help them.
You know, and if you're not sure what struggling looks like, these are just some indicators that happen to be very good. You know, if they're remaining in bed longer, maybe, and for whatever reason, I don't have a reason to get up, or I'm tired, or things like that. Those are obvious changes that should probably be addressed and talking to a doctor, but if it is just a matter of age and things aren't working quite as well, maybe it's a good idea to look for some resources. I was talking to a gentleman a little while ago, and he's been gardening forever. You know, every year he has a big garden. They have, you know, quite a bit of property, and he's always done it. And he said, you know, this year it's been harder. I'm more tired. I can't weed my garden like I have, and the weeds have just gotten out of control. So if somebody's got a yard that isn't as kept up as it used to be, then they may be struggling. And as a neighbor, you don't have to tell them, oh, your yard's falling apart, but maybe know that there's some extra help that they may need.
Right. Look past just seeing them and saying hi to them in their, driveway, but actually recognize if somebody is a landscape maintenance guy. If he always has the yard well manicured and the garden is pristine, and all of a sudden you're noticing that he doesn't come out as much, or she doesn't keep the weeds out of her, you know, flower bed as much, then that's an indicator of a change in her lifestyle. And it's those changes in conditions. And here's another one. So if you hear that somebody's having a fall, but we spoke with somebody last night, and he was talking to us about his wife that he's caring for. And as he said, what does an eligibility look like? And we said, well, you know, you have an illness, and then all of a sudden you notice that there's a change in a condition. Maybe they're not up to bathing as often. Maybe they have falls. He says, oh, she never falls. I stand right next to her, and I make sure she doesn't fall. Okay, potential falls, likelihood of falls. If she's weaker and she's not balancing on her own, that is an indication of a change in her condition. And changes in conditions are precursors or eligibility requirements.
Right. And along those lines, they may not be falling, but how are they walking? Are they taking strides, or are they shuffling? Are they going slower? Are they staying hunched over? You know, those are all indicators. If they're, you know, if you're in church with them and they're kind of walking along the wall holding on to it, that's a good indicator that they're not as stable as they have been. And so if we can bring resources in, not to deal with the walking, but to help alleviate some of the other issues of life so that they can spend more time doing the things that they love instead of just worrying, then it's a much better experience for them. And we want to help.
And the caregiver.
Yeah.
Remember, that's the beautiful thing about the palliative program, is it's not just for the patient, for your loved one that you're caring for, but it's for you too. It's so that you don't have as many stresses and daily burdens. It's important that the caregiver is well taken care of as well, so they can continue to give care.
Right. So some other indicators, since that's where we're starting today, I guess. Let's talk about some of the other indicators that we might see in people and recognize that it is just a change for them that we probably should see if we can help. Unexpected weight loss. That's a, you know, when people lose weight and they're not expecting it, that's probably a change in their biology that's making that happen.
Or actually weight gain, weight gain. So a change in weight, again, change in condition.
Right, because a lot of us, you know, we may try and lose weight and get excited about 10 pounds, and then we gain that back. That 10-pound range isn't it. But when people just didn't need to lose weight and they start losing weight, or they were hoping they didn't gain weight and they are now putting weight on, and that may be a heart condition that's doing that. There's a lot of indicators that may be available to us. Memory issues, you know, and this is one that I think we can see in people when you can't come up with the words. Now, I can't come up with all the words that I need.
Right.
But when you're having a conversation and almost every sentence is generalized because the specific word isn't available, that's really an indication that that person is struggling to communicate and doing the best they can in the circumstances, and their best is less than enough.
Or if when you're having a conversation, you recognize that they often change the topic of conversation, you might be thinking, oh, well, they just lost focus and retract. But our bodies have this incredible way of protecting ourselves from letting others know that we have weaknesses or deficiencies. Mm-hmm. And so people with Alzheimer's and dementia will talk about things that are very familiar to them because they're comfortable with that. And that might be something from, you know, 20 years past, or it might be, you know, this morning, depending on which pathway is being affected by the dementia. But if they constantly change topics, that's an indication that they're probably compensating, trying to protect themselves from you recognizing that they're having memory loss and deficiencies.
And your point is very good. Most of the time, short-term memory, when we're struggling with memory loss, is the first thing that goes. And so if somebody has a hard time remembering appointments or you know, what time it is and what they were doing in the moment, but they can tell you about a lot of life experiences they've had, or they tend to go back to talking about experiences they had. Maybe they'll tell you those experiences a couple, three times. But if that's their tendency, to go back and talk about the things that they can remember and avoid the things that they don't, then again, those are some indicators. If they get lost or if they end up wandering, those are some real concerns. So when we're out and about and we're just being good, you know, good neighbors and friends and we love our family, when we start seeing those things, there are resources and help that's available, and we would love to come in and describe what can be available, because it's specific to individuals. We're not saying that there are six things that you can take advantage of and we'd like to offer those. There's a whole plethora of options that are out there and services that may be available, and much of it can be free, but some of it can be extremely effective and solve some problems. Even if it's simply, and these are conversations we've had, even if it's simply finding somebody a walker so that they're a little more stable when they're walking around, instead of having to, you know, make some financial commitment to do that. If they need that help in getting something stable, then let's see if we can solve that for them.
Right. Remember, there are federal resources available. There are local resources available. Utah has a lot of really great programs. But most of our seniors and their younger children or grandchildren just didn't realize that they're there. The neighbor that says, my goodness, my neighbor's really struggling to just take care of their ADLs, which is activities of daily living. Poor thing, you know, things are getting so much harder on them. Please reach out to us because we can make their life a little bit easier. If it's a loved one caring for somebody, you may think, oh, they're lucky to have their spouse, right? But that spouse needs the support and to be taken care of as well. And while this is especially important in men hate to take any help, right? But if it's a man taking care of his wife and he keeps saying, oh, I can do it, wouldn't the circumstances be so much more beautiful if he could just continue to be the husband and love his wife? And yes, he'd still be helping his wife. But as far as the regular bathing and watching out for wounds that might arise or being aware of conditions that, you know, if he's not a clinician, he may not recognize. All just knowing that there's somebody else taking a look at his wife to make sure that she's safe and healthy will really relieve a lot of stresses for that caregiver.
And one of the other risk issues here is being alone. You know, it may be somebody who's living here, but family lives elsewhere. And so they don't have much interaction. Their whole day may go without any communication with anybody else. And all they're doing is watching television or not even doing that, just, you know, laying in bed. And those certainly reduce, you know, the
quality
love
of life.
Yeah, the quality of life, the love of life. So I think if we're going to be looking to find people who are having these problems, we really want to look at those people who are living alone or even as couples who are kind of isolated from friends and family. And here in Southern Utah, certainly we have quite a large number of seniors that may need that help.
And on that note, if they have family that's regularly coming in, you may take for granted that their family's taking care of everything. But there's two parts of that. One is, of course, it will relieve a lot of the burden of the family, where the family just gets to be the loving family and enjoy time there when they're with them. But they may not recognize everything. The family may come in, but remember, when a family member comes in, all of a sudden you're so excited to see them. And so you're on your, you know, the adrenaline kicks in and you're on your very best for that hour that the family's there and the loved ones are there. So the loved ones continually see the great part of their loved one, and that they may not notice the daily things when they're alone that are going wrong. But a neighbor may recognize that before a family member that visits weekly.
So we would like you to, if you know of anybody that you think is in a position, and let me just say, you don't have to be a physician to know that somebody may have some health conditions. You don't have to be a plumber to know that the faucet leaks. So if those indications show up, you don't have to be the one to fix the problem. You don't have to do anything other than encourage them to look at options. Have them give us a call. You know, you talk about palliative care and just to suggest that they find out what palliative care is.
Help in the home. Yeah. And most of those resources are completely free. And when they're not, other insurances can cover them. Mm-hmm. A lot of the national resources will cover a lot of those expenses. The amount of programs that are available can be surprising to you. So give our office a call and let's see what we can do to help you.
But the last part, but the last part of that is that if it's not free or if it's not something that they want, they don't have to choose it.
Right.
They're not obligated to do anything. There's going to be no obligation.
Or they can try it and then change their mind without ever losing a benefit.
Right.
This is a great program, folks, because it's insurance. You've been paying for it since the first day you went to work. You may as well take advantage of it. But so often, in a larger percentage of people than people that use it, most people do not take advantage of the program and resources are available to them. But remember, these people sitting on Capitol Hill, they've had loved ones, they've had grandparents or parents that have needed assistance, and they've actually voted for a really great program, and it is the expanded palliative care option. Remember the expanded, because everybody says they have a palliative option, and that could just be, we'll manage your pain, because that's technically pain management. But not everybody has the expanded option of coming into your home and helping to bring a higher quality of life, a better of life for as long as you can live.
Okay, so for the rest of this show, we're going to talk about a study that was just published September 18th that re-supports some things we already knew, and the reason that I think it's interesting is because it has to do with epigenetics.
I love that.
Yeah, it's an interesting study. For those of you who have any idea, we're going to try and give an explanation.
Andy, do you know what epigenetics is?
Epigenetics. I don't.
All right. So our genome, the DNA that we have,
yes.
Okay, is usually wrapped up really tightly. But that's the whole data code for the building blocks of our body and the operating system, right? That's all of it. That's the whole library of data.
And it's kind of who you are in a computer nutshell.
That's right. But we're going to use this book idea that it's in a book, but it's unreadable when that book is closed up, okay? So we can open up the pages. The question is what pages get open in this? What of this DNA unravels that becomes readable? And the epigenetics means that which is over or around the outside of your genome. These are little markers, little molecules that attach themselves in different places. And those can move. So through our lifestyle and the experiences we have, those markers actually move through the genome and they open up different parts of this book. And so we have different instruction sets. And medicine has figured out that there are parts of our genome that relate to aging and that they can take the markers, these epigenetic codes or these methylates. These are all words that will be used, but they're all kind of the same thing. They're just these little molecules that sit on the outside of this long tube of data and mark where it'll get unfolded. So it'll open it up. So these page markers.
Can I just interject that the interesting part of epigenetics is when these markers move and change how your DNA is read or how you react to things, that happens throughout your lifetime. But it can happen not only from life experiences and situations that have happened throughout your life, but it can actually come from your mother or father can pass it on to your DNA. So if they had a life experience in their childhood, a traumatic life experience, their fear of something can actually attach to your DNA. That's fascinating.
And then you can pass that on to your generation. So they know that all the way back to grandparents, what their life experiences are can have an effect on their grandchildren. But that we're not victims of this, that we have some control. And that's really what this is about, that our life experiences and the things we do can modify where our epigenetic codes are marked.
In essence, you can change your epigenetic code, so that reader.
Right. And so we're going to talk now specifically about a few sections of our genome that science has figured out relate to aging. And what they've looked at is that these markers start moving around and they start attaching to more and more places that indicate that we're getting older. And the way they found these was they looked at people who appeared older and people who appeared younger than their chronological age. And they found where those markers were different. And so these have just become some indicators in our genome. And so that's kind of the reference now. And so then we started looking at this. So this study is just a little different in that they did not only that, they, well, let me just explain the study. So they looked at diet and exercise, nothing new here, right? And how that affects aging, but they did it very specifically and scientifically. They had four groups. They had people that they had changed their diet to a Mediterranean diet. We've all heard that. That's, you know, a very, well, let's go with mostly fruits and vegetables, okay? Using olive oil and very little meat and dairy products and using whole grains and not processed grains. And then they had another group that they said, okay, we're going to have you change your physical activity, and we are going to have you do at least 1 hour of moderate activity a day, three times the resting metabolic rate. That means that they got their heart rate up to a relatively moderate stress level. And then they also had some strenuous activity and added that in. So we've got a high activity level. We've got a high improved diet level. And then they had a group that did both. And then they had a group that they didn't change at all. Where this study comes in is they tested their specific DNA at the beginning of the test, went 24 months and tested it again, and they tracked two things. We talked about the genetic markers for aging, and that's the aging acceleration markers. But they also then looked at the epigenetic mutation load, and that's how much your genomes just tend to start going crazy, right? These markers just kind of start getting randomized, and that causes some real problems. And what they found, I don't know, let me get you the data and then we'll go back and talk about it. What they found was that diet had a tremendous effect on how much our bodies aged internally.
Even more so than exercise.
Well, yeah, this study ultimately says that exercise was
not as important.
Yeah, not as important. And but diet really was. And if we wanted to make changes and slow our aging, that we probably should be looking at diet as a primary benefit. But the whole epigenetic things is just, it's exciting because we, you know, it's science that can be tracked, and you can look at your own genome if you were interested and find out where you're at with that and how that's going to change. So this is, I don't think there's anything new. We've, science has been telling us and medicine's been telling us a long time that diet's important. But this is just yet one more verification of that. And it was just a recent study that came out. We wanted you to know that.
Keep going.
Oh, you want me to keep going? All right.
2 minutes. You have to wrap up quickly. We're probably going to have to finish this next week because we talked so much about, you know, identifying those who are in need. And that's so important. And it was something that we felt like we touched on last night, but we really didn't get to, you know, help you identify or look for people that you can help through referring them to the palliative program, an expanded palliative program. So go on.
So our telephone number, 435-477-6999. And we take those calls and we would love to hear from you. Now, whether we hear from you about somebody that you know that needs some help, or you want to send us a question that we can answer on the radio, or if you want to text one to Andy, and that number is?
435-467-5842.
Okay.
I just got a text that said, most of your seniors can't text.
I actually disagree completely because I get texts all morning long.
Okay, good, good, good.
All right, but that's also a good point. We aren't trying to just reach people who are elderly. This program is really for anybody who knows somebody who's elderly. Because
right. Good point.
We know that we're not going to be able to talk to everybody or educate people in the community that aren't listening to this radio program. And we're hoping that we can give everybody that knows somebody some information that they can share with those that they love and care for. So we really look forward to getting those calls and talking to you. So let's see, what do we got, Andy?
Down to about 30 seconds.
30 seconds. That's it.
That's it.
Okay. So I'm at a loss and I feel really bad. This is the first time we've ever had this hiccup. We really appreciate, you know, the listeners that we've had and the support that we've gotten, the people that, came last night and supported us. We really appreciate you. And we hope to have more of these meetings where we can, share that information with more people. So give us a call if you're interested in participating in one of those and we'll, make it a good time. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks.